Brachim, Dach, Tetzan und Adif. And the figure of Ein Topic makes me Radai, that went on a slight tangent about Hilchus Shumas and Maitis. And the last thing we learned was that a person can bring in Tzvor, you marry him on the Tzvor and bring it in with the Maitis in its shaft, that means bring it into his storehouse or bring it into his house in a manner that's not yet a Gemar Melacha. And that way you feed the animals. You can feed the animals. Meaning you yourself can't eat it, but even Keva, because even Tzvor that's not Gemar Melacha cannot be eaten, but even Keva, Midrabona. But Midrabona you can't eat it, but even Keva. But animals you can. Animals you can feed. There's no drabon on the animals. And we know by animals you can feed the animals for that hasn't yet had a Gmar Melacha. So since it's not Tevel Menatoya yet, because it hasn't had a Gmar Melacha, you can feed the animals such as Tevel. That's where we left off last time. And we learned the Tetzis Kedei. We learned the Tetzis Kedei until on the first wide line, and the rest we can leave for the time being. So now we have the next tesis. Kedei shedehei behema ocheres. So kedei shedehei behema ocheres. Now this tesis, we spoke it out well there, but we'll see it inside now. This tesis is bothered about, it's mashma in the Gemara, that only because it hasn't yet had the shein tevel, that's why you're allowed to feed it to the animals. If it's already got Shein Tevel, if it's already Issa Tevel, you can't feed it to the animals. And the question is why is there Issa to feed it to the animals if it's Tevel? What should be wrong with that? The Tevel says this, Mashma, if it's Tevel, Shirof and Erbais. Mashma, the Tevel that saw already in Erbais, that means the Hadig Mamal Allah, Afila Behema Nami, Lo Ochlo. Even an animal, you can't feed it. You can't feed the animal produce that is Vadai Tevel. The Tema Lari, Shaitis asked the Ri, my Shno Mishar Hano, the story. What's the difference from any other Hano? You're allowed to have Hano from Tevel. No, it's a Tevel, not from Tevel. The Loimatsinu Tevel, we don't find regarding Tevel, Shuasa Bano, that it's forbidden to have Hano from it. But why can't they feed my animals? That's the big question. What's the problem with animal Tevel? I once was traveling home from the airport to my house in Beit Shemesh, and as a taxi driver, irreligious taxi driver, and he was harping about the fact that the Haredi market, the Haredi Rabbonim, are milking the communities of the charging them for hashkochas for no reason whatsoever. It costs money for hashkochas and there's no reason. Example he gave me was that he has a cat and he saw on the tin of the cat food, he saw it had a hesh on it. He said, why did a cat need the hesh, everybody? A person made it, but why should a cat need the hesh? Why should a cat need the hesh? So you see, the rabbis are just doing it just in order to be able to take money. They don't, there's no real reason for it. He's irreligious, he didn't know the halacha, but he was asking me, that was one of his examples. The option at the time, I thought of one reason, which was Basav HaCholov. It could be that cat food that is Basav HaCholov, and you're not allowed to have an off from Basav HaCholov. But you're not allowed to have an off from Basav HaCholov. So maybe that could have been the pshat. Why you need Ashkocha? And this place is, we're going to see another reason why you need Ashkocha over cat food. The Yishleima says, the Zoshinim ben Bamei Madlikim, we learn in Perek Abam Madlikim, Kamei Madlikim B'teva, Tommy. Regarding the Mishnah, it says, you're not allowed to be Madlik B'teva Tommy. Mishun Dechtiv, Et Mishmeres Trumoisa. You're not allowed to light a candle with Tevel Tomei, because the Pasuk says it's Mishmeres Trumoisai. Trumoisai is Noshim Rabin. Vishtei Trumoisai Kosum Midab. There's two Trumois the Pasuk is talking about. Achas Tehoira, Ba'achas Tameya. There's one thing called Truma Tahoya and another thing called Truma Tameya. Ma Tahoya Einecho Bo. El Mishas Haroma Ve'ilech. Truma Tahoya is only Shayech, only after you've been Mafish Truma. Tameya came. Also Tameya. Only after you've been Mafish Truma are you allowed to burn. You're allowed to burn the oil. Behind the adlocker. That's referring to adlocker. Adlocker, you're allowed to burn truma tameya. But you're allowed to burn truma tameya. Behada goma tahoya mitameya. Then we learn the other way around. We'll speak out in a second. I just want to read the tesis first. Behada goma tahoya mitameya. Ma tameya the mitzvah bahadlocker koidim haroma. Just like tameya is forbidden to light it before haroma, after Hoyo. So to Tahoyo, you're not allowed to light it before Haram. So now let's speak out what exactly the Zer Shava was, and then we'll see how it answered the question. There's a Zer Shava, Trumoitzai, telling me there's two types of Trumas, Truma Tahoyo and Truma Tameya. And the Torah tells me, when is Truma called Truma? Only after Haprosha. When are you allowed to eat Truma Tahoyo? When's the Kohen allowed to eat Truma Tahoyo? Obviously, when's you allowed to eat it? Only after Afrosha, beforehand it's Tevah. You're not allowed to eat it before Afrosha. So when's Truma Tahoya permitted to be eaten? After Afrosha. So just like Truma Tahoya is only permitted to be eaten after Afrosha, so too Truma Tameya is only permitted to have anah after Afrosha. Meaning, now what do you do with Truma Tameya? Obviously you can't eat it. So what do you do with it? You know what you do with it? You burn it. So you can only burn Tameya after Afrosha. And then the Gemara says the other way around as well. Just like Tameya, you can only burn after Afrosha. So now we know Tevel Tomei you can't burn. But just like Truma Tameya, you can only burn after Afrosha. Just like Tavua that Tomei is only kosher after Afrosha. So too, Tahoya. Tavua that Tomei is only permitted to burn it after Haprosha. So from here you see that to burn Tevel is forbidden. To burn Tevel is forbidden. That's regarding with Tevel. Let's go over that part, and then we'll come to eating. The Yishlema, let's go from the Yishlema. The Yishlema, the Doshinam, the Bavim, and Likid. You see where it is? It's four lines down in Tosafot. The Yishlema, the Doshinam, the Bavim, and Likid. We learn a Joshua in Bavim, and Likid. That you're not allowed to burn Tevel Tomei. How do we know that? Because it got marked like this. The pasuk talks about Truma in the plural, Loshen Rabbi. To tell me, B'shtei Trumois HaKosu Medav. The pasuk saying that there's two types of Trumois. One type of truma is achas tahoya. One type of truma is tahoya. But one type is achas tameya. The other type is tami. So there's a tahoya and a tami. So now the Gemara says that is ma tahoya, just like truma tahoya. Ein lechobo ena mishas haroma. From when are you allowed to eat truma tahoya? Only from after afrosha. Ah, mishas haroma ve'ilech. Only from after afrosha. Tameya came. So to a Tameya, the same halacha, you're only allowed to benefit from the Tameya only after Afrosha. Now what benefit can you have from Truma Tameya? Behind your halacha, that's halacha that's burning it. You're not allowed to eat Truma Tameya anyway, right? So the only benefit you can have from Truma Tameya is to burn it. You're going to have to burn Truma Tameya. A kohen's allowed to burn Shemen Tzrifa, it's called. Shemen, it's made for burning. It's only for burning. You can't eat it, but you can burn it. Shemen Tzrifa. So that's from where we know that you're not allowed to burn Truma Tahoya. So you're not allowed to burn Tevel Tomei until after Afrosha. So Tevel Tomei, you're not allowed to burn. How do I know I'm not allowed to burn Tevel Tahoi? Behada Gama Tahoya Mitameya. And then we learn Tahoya from Tameya. Ma Tameya, just like Tameya. Tevel Tome, Dimitsu Bahabloko, it's forbidden to have an offer it for Abloko, Koidim Aroma before being Mapish Truma. To Tevel Tome, you can't burn. After Hoyo, so to Hoyo, you're not allowed to burn before Afrosh. So that's regarding burning. As I get back to our cat food, as I get back to our lot about Behemo Cheles, there's places the Chay, the Hachil, the Behemo. The same
is that a good Havachomer? The Pharaoh is convert Tamer, therefore you convert Tahor.
That's what we're saying. You can't burn Tahor. Yeah. So how do we get to animals? There's the Gemara. The same is feeding animals. The chol hano shel kilui. And all hanois of kilui. You're not allowed to, there's different types of hanois. There's hano of benefiting from it, which is eating. And then there's something called hano of kilui. It's where you're actually destroying the thing. You're destroying it. But at the same time, you're benefiting from it. If I give an animal food to eat, that's like burning it. I'm not getting any physical benefit from it. I'm destroying it. At the same time destroying it, there is a certain benefit that the animal's eating. And any ano of kilui is the same as burning. So just like burning it, you're not allowed to burn it. When it's tomei, when it's tevel, just like tevel, you're not allowed to burn and have ano from the burning. So to any type of hana of kilui, you're not allowed to do. So you can't feed your animal head on.
Even though the animal is consuming it, but you're getting the benefit that you don't have to give them other food.
Right, you don't have to pay for it. You're saving.
Right. And that's called hana of kilui. That's hana, and that's forbidden.
Is this all talking to a Kohen? I mean, a Kohen can burn tame, but a czar cannot burn, or
can't have a law from truma.
Even if it's tame, the czar can't give any benefit. So this whole discussion is all talking to a Kohen.
That's when it's truma. We're talking about tevel. Tevel is relevant for everyone. Tevel's relevant for everyone. You're not allowed to ever have any hana of kilui. Even for Koyin is not allowed to have it. You're not allowed to have any hana of kilui if it's tevel. It's something which a person has to know. If he has a fruit growing in his garden and he has a tortoise or a rabbit or something like that, you're not allowed to feed your animals tevel. You have to be mafresh trumas and maizes before you feed your animal tevel. Interesting. Truma you can give. A Kohen can give truma to a animal. But tevel he can't. You have to be mafresh trumas and maizes. And a truma you can give to the animal. The Kohen can give it. But tevel he can't do it. I'm told that the Gamachayot in Yerushalayim, they feed all the animals the trumas and maizes of the Rabbanot. That's what I've been told. Fine, truma you can give. Because a Kohen, as long as it belongs to a Kohen, you can give the truma. But tevel you can't. You have to be mafresh truma to maizes. Finishes off Tosis, Mahakanami Adinon. From here also we know, the Ein Yisrael Machil Lebehemto, Yisrael, Ezol, yeah? Can't feed his animals, Karshini truma. Can't feed his animals truma. Because you're not allowed to have a law. Not allowed to have a law from Truma. He says, Rasha, I didn't check up this Rasha. He says, Rasha and Shabbos didn't explain it like this. So Chaval, I forgot. I wanted on Shabbos to check it up. But it slipped my mind. That Rashi and Shabbos, we have to see. Maybe afterwards I'll check it out. Rashi explained it something differently. Right? So what have we seen from Tesis? We've seen from Tesis that Tevel is also Tevanol from Hanol Kilui. You're not allowed to have Hanol Kilui from it. You're allowed to have other Hanol, but not Hanol Kilui. We learn that out from Truma. And Tesis ends off at the point that Yisrael and Zal can't feed his animals also Hanol Kilui. Can't feed his animals Truma. Like Yeshua mentioned beforehand. that sale. Only a kohen that has to burn truma, but a zal is not out to. So may the rabbi zal has to feed his animals. That's also a type of hana of kiloi, which you're not allowed to do. So that was all a bit of a digression on our sugya. So let's try and get back into the sugya. What were we talking about? We were talking about whether a vada in Safek can be mitzi from a vada. That was our shayla. That was really the shayla of the Gemara. Whether Safek can be mitzi from a vada. If I have a certain situation which should stay that way, can we rely on a Safek, even a roiv, right? Not Tama Safek. Of course can't rely on a Safek. Even a roiv, can you rely on a Safek to be mitzi from a vada? And that's why we brought this tefillah, that we see we do rely on a roiv. Chaveir ma'atim him. To which the Gemara answered two answers. Either that the chaveim were actually a vadai, or the tvor was actually only a sofik. That was the Gemara until here. Now the Gemara is going to pick up the piece again and carry on in the same bit. Take the Gemara, third line from the bottom. Take the Gemara, ein sofik moiti midei vadai. Wow, Sofik can't be Moitzi Midei Vada. I'll bring you another case where we find it seems that Sofik is Moitzi Midei Vada. But Tanya, it says in the bright psalm, Reb Yehuda, Mait b'shifchosei shal meitzik echod b'rimoi. Isn't this amazing, Talmud Bavli? You see, we're learning Sochim, which is about Chomet. But look how we're jumping around. We started off this Omed talking about the idea of the Folim in a house where the Kohen, Tumas Kohenim, is he allowed to go into a house? Then we moved on to Trumas and Mises, Tevel, learning halachas of Zorim, all because we want to know Hilchas Pesach, and now we're back to, again, the same idea of Tumah Vataya. So Mises, B'shifchosu shal Meitzik Echod, Meitzik means a very strong guy. Don't know what this has so to do with the picture about that he's a strong guy, but that's what it is. There's a shifcha of this strong guy,
in of this cup of that.
Yeah.
In modern day Hebrew, Matzik is someone who's bothersome, no?
Right.
That's the bothersome.
You know, it doesn't really have much to do with the story, the fact that he bothers people. That's interesting you mentioned it. There's a story of the Shifcha of this Matzik, Echod. This Rashi calls him Inish Alme, a strong guy. He was a Jewish person. He wasn't a non-Jew. So the Shifcha of this person, Rimon, that's where it was, a place called Rimon. Shetilo Nefer Leboy. The Shemis carried, and it's a shame if she miscarried or her mistress miscarried. Those are the talks about it. But there was a Nefel that was thrown into a boy. And a Nefel is Metame. A Nefel is Metame Tumas Oyalim. The Kohen does not have to come to me for Nefel. What about it? And then what happens? Uvor Kohen, we're now on the base. Uvor Kohen, the Hitzitz boy, the Kohen came to look inside. Leda, why is he doing that? What's going in his head? Why is he looking in that boy? Leda to know, in Zokahu, in the Kevahu, to know what that Nephil was. Whether it was a Zokah, or in a cave, meaning that halacha is in Tumah Vataya, a leda, yeledes. If she gives birth to a male, to a boy, then she is tomei for 7 days. She goes to mikveh, and then she has 33 days of yamei tara. 33 days that of any dam that she sees is going to be dam to her. That's if she's a zoch, if it was a zoch. In the Kevahi, everything doubles. It's 14 days of Yemei Tumah, and then she goes to Mikveh, and then she gets 66 days of Yemei Taya. So, we need to know now, what is this child? Was it a Zohar or was it a Kevah? So this Kohen went to check. And Chachamim heard about it. And what was the Shaila exactly? The Shaila is that maybe when he put his head over that boy where the Nephil was, the tumor of the Nephel, the tumor's mace of the Nephel, would go up and hit his head, and he'll become Tommy. So is he Tame, Mace, or not? He went to find out how long the Shifra, or the mistress, has to wait to make Tuman Tayo. Nothing about Mace. But he, at the same time, he has a new shayla of Tumas Mace. And the Chacham heard about it.
He was only he was checking to see if it's a male or female. And that's, I was assuming, based on the fact that he's seeing the Nephil there.
He went to see if he could find it. He didn't see it.
He didn't see it?
No.
If he went to see it, surely he would be coming.
Right. Nachon. So he didn't see it. And they came to the rabbi, and the rabbi said he's tahor. Why? Because our famous chulda is there.
Why do we need a chulda?
Why
do we need the chulda baldelas? If it's not there, it's not there. I don't get it. He either saw it or didn't see it. If he didn't see it, so it's not there. So he's not coming.
Burning deep and dark. So he didn't see what he was looking for, but it doesn't mean it's not there.
He went to try and see. Also had information that the Nephil was thrown there. The people who did it, so somebody must have seen somebody throw it there.
Yeah. It was definitely thrown there. Shaita is, when the Kohen got there, it's still there.
Right. Well, if it's so deep and dark, and how would a Hulda get down in there?
Chuldas live there. Chuldas live in the burrows.
So there's like burrows or tunnels or whatever for the Chulda to get to it. Fine.
So the Kohen didn't see what he wanted to see, but he also didn't see it's not there. He just didn't see it. Right? So Mamela, we now have a Shaila. Is that Nephil there or not?
How much time passed?
He came to the
Was there a lapse of the time from the time that was thrown there until the time that the Kohen went to look for it? How much time had lapsed?
Okay.
That would be that irrelevant.
Why should it be relevant?
Well, just like we had a discussion with Hulda with Hametz and versus Basar, you know, Basar is, you know, it, because it decays and it, you know, it's not going to eat it when it's not fresh. So it depends on how much time, well actually, but that cuts both ways. He's not going to take it away if it's old, and he's not, and if it's old, that if it's been a while, then you could assume that he took it away. So, I mean, it's just a question of how quickly, how much reason these Hulden have.
That doesn't say. So, in the Gemara, the Ha'ocha, the Vada Yitzila, there was a definite story that happened there. She definitely threw that child in, the Nephilim, the Sophic Guru, and we have a Sophic if the Chulda took it away, the Sophic Logo, and we have a Sophic maybe it didn't take it away. So we have a Sophic. The Sophic Logo, Ha'ishata, but it didn't take it away at that time. Because he's Sophic, and we see a Sophic can negate even a Vadai. We see in this case the rabbi said he's sorry. Why is he sorry? We have a Vadai tomorrow. And a Sophic, maybe even it's a Rav that the Chuldas take it away. But it's not a Vadai. So why should we be... So why should we be make? How can it be toy? How can it be toy? Hear the kasha. Our whole cloud was ain't Sophic Moitzi Midei Vadai. And here we see Sophic Moitzi Midei Vadai. Let's have a look at Rashi before we get to the answer. Rashi is top of the Omid. Of our Kohen the Hatzitz. A Kohen came and peeped over Al Sfas Habo. On the edge of the boy. Leda im zocho im nekeva. To know if he's a zocho or a nekeva. Now Rashi's bothered. Why on earth would this Kohen do that? What was going in the head of the Kohen? Why was he doing that? Says Rashi, This koy was a relative or one of the family members. Mishalchu shom, and they sent him there lahagid le'imoy to tell his mother, ma timoy. What was the child? V'tamchim v'intumas v'tayis zocho l'meitumas v'tayis nekeva. And therefore she should differentiate between the tuma and the tayo of a male and the tuma and the tayo of a female. So why this Kohen went? Because he's one of the family members. But this Kohen was a bit of an Amorim. Like Nizar, Oisei Kohen, this Kohen was not careful. He should have changed the gears, so not Nizkar. Like Nizhar, Oisei Kohen, this Kohen was not careful. Al-Azharas le-Nefesh lo-Yitami. There's a possible material. You're not allowed to be Mitami le-Nefesh. And he wasn't careful about that. He hit his boy the boy, and he looked into the boy, and he did not see the nephil. V'tiru, and there were Mitzayim Mimal al Amis, from being mile on the mace, from leaning over the mace. So what does Rashi tell us here? A whole bunch of chidushim in this Rashi. First of all, Rashi tells us, this Kohen was from a family member, okay, a family member. Why was he sent there? What does Rashi say? Why was he sent there?
To check on male or female. So you know where
find out the gender.
Because it's relevant for the mother to know how long she's coming for.
Relevant for the mother. That's what Rashi says. It's relevant for the mother. 1 second. Whose child was thrown into the pit?
Shifcha.
Or his mother. The Shifcha, it says in the Gemara, Shifcha threw it in the pit, right?
So is a Shifcha...
Well, I know that we should never find a Kohen, the son of a Shifcha. Sorry, sir?
Well, does it mean his mother, the Kohen's mother, or the mother of the child?
What's the relationship between the Shifcha and the Kohen? And the Kohen's going to have a Shifcha...
The child of a Shifcha is a Kohen. That can't be. Rashi says, Shofu Shom Lahagid Le'imoy, to tell it his mother. His mother sounds like the Kohen's mother, not the Nephil's mother.
Why not?
Shofu Shom Lahagid Le'imoy, to tell his mother. Right? Not to tell Lahagid La'im, but to tell his mother. So it sounds like the Kohen is the child of the Yeledes. There's a nice, if you look in Tosis here, on the previous page, we won't be on this Tosis at the top of it, but Tosis, the last Tosis on a previous page, has a discussion whose child this was. And he says it could be the Shifcha just threw the mother, the mistress's child out. Right? It was the mistress who miscarried, and the mistress is not going to throw a child out into the pit, but the Shifcha did it. So, okay, Rashi could learn like that. Therefore, this Kohen went in order to tell his mother whether she's going to have to be Tommy to Miss of a Zohar or a Nakeva. Okay, isn't that's one condition of Rashi.
Well, isn't it clear that we're not talking about the Kohen's mother? The beginning of Rashi says, the Kohen Karov Omi Bnei Habayit. Now, if we're going to say that the next words are going to say that he means that he was the son of the woman, of the mother, so you won't say Karov Omi Bnei Habayit. You just say Ben Hayoledes. And Karov, you're saying Karov. So Karov, if we go according to the Shita that he was a Karov, then definitely doesn't fit with saying that he is the son of the mother we're talking about. The Pashan reading is, the Kohen was the Karov or somebody in the family. I don't know what Rashi has to say it that way, but okay, that's what he says. And then the Imo, we're talking about the Imo of the Nefid. And usually when you don't know the gender, you say the male gender. So you say the Imo of the Nefid is what we have to tell her what it was.
I have another point. Yossi's saying, if he is the son of the mother, that means that the baby, this nafal, is either a brother or a sister of the Kohen, right? And so if the brother is sister of the Kohen, what's the issue in the first place? Because that would be a korov to that Kohen, so there would be no question whether he's allowed to mitzmeh himself for that.
Very good. Okay, sure. That, I mean, I agree with what Yossi said, but your point of Rishon's point, that's the end of the last thesis, and that part we do want to learn. The end of last thesis in that testament day. From Aymeri, look at the end of the last thesis, four lines up. Okay? From Aymeri. Because that's going to be an important point. From Aymeri, on the end of the last thesis of the previous Omer. The end of the last thesis of Testament Aleph, four lines up, Aymeri. So, again, I hear what you're saying, Yossi, and your Mordechai. I understood Imri meant the mother of the Kohen. You're right, Rashi does say B'nai B'is, so. That's the Kohen of Ibn-i B'is, as maybe Imri doesn't mean that here. Okay? So, Chorosom, Maskim. So, Chorosom, Ragi the Imri, to tell the mother, then they come to this. Mativa. Okay, so that was the Chiddush of, maybe it wasn't a Chiddush then. Then, says Rashi says another Chiddush. Like, neither Oyster Kohen, Alatanas the Nefesh Leitan. This Kohen was not careful about the Issa to be Mitame for Nefesh. It's an Issa Toya for Kohen to be Mitame for Nefesh. And he wasn't careful about that, and he went and checked. So Yossi Yeshua asked, if it was the brother, then what Issa is in the first place? Why are you telling me that like Issa, the Toya says, in Pasuk Kedoshim, it's Muta. Somebody's got the background noise here. The story says about the Emma, sorry, that a Kohen is allowed to be Tommy, a Kohen Hedges, is allowed to be Tommy for a brother or a sister. Right? That's an Emma. So why is Rashi say here he wasn't careful? Maybe he was. There happened to be a brother or a sister. So that is thesis on the last thesis, what Yeshua mentioned, the last thesis on Testament Aleph, four lines up. You should learn that. When we finished here, four lined up, Chiddush and Tesis. So, says Rashi, he didn't see the Nefel, and the risk is that maybe he was mild. So why were they matter it? Next Rashi, why were they matter it? Because Shechulda or Bardalis Mitzuyim Shom. There's a Chulda is common for polecats. And a Bardalis, some type of other animal, weasel maybe, to be found there. So what happened exactly? So they took we're assuming the Chulda took in the Nefel underground. We're assuming he took it in underground. It wasn't a boy, and he dragged it into his hole. That's what we're assuming. And how did that help? There's a lock in Tumma, that Tumma beikat v'oile. Tumma has a koyach to break through any covering and go right through. So if this koyach stood on top of the sides of the boat, and what we're saying that perhaps the chulda took the boat, took the weasel inside. Perhaps the chulda took the nefer inside some hole. Very good, so what? But you're standing on top of that. And the tumah should be bikas voila, the tumah should go all the way through. She should still be Tommy. That's the help. Says Rashi Ateret. Samchu, Chuldo. Chuldo, Bardalis, the general size of a hole, of a Chuldo, and a Bardalis is Feseach Tefach. Is at least a Tefach high. Now, a lot in Hilchos Oel is, that if you have an oil, the oil is Choytzit. If you have an oil, the oil stops the Tumah from breaking through. So if I have a tumma in a house, anyone standing on the roof of the house will be tired because the roof is acting as a chatzitza. It's an oil. The oil is chatzitza. It protects and stops the tumma from growing through. So too, says Rashi, the size of this chor, the size of this hole for the chulda is a tefachai. And therefore, if we can assume that the chulda took the mace inside, then indeed the kohen standing on top will be tar. leaning over it, he didn't lean over a mace, because the mace is not in the pit. And standing on top of the mace, also not, because there's an oil, and the oil will stop the tumor from growing through. So the mace of them are matrix. Pray to Gemara Kasha, sorry, I don't understand. This should be a problem because Ein Sofek Moitzi Midei Zala. Let's try and just go a bit sickum of what we learned. The answer is coming still, but let's go sickum. The Gemara, the Rabbah told us that he stayed on with Aleph, Ein Sofek Moitzi Midei Zala. They can never assume that Sofek, even a Roiv, can counteract and negate a Zala. You can't do that. And now we see not like that. Because what do we see here? This Kohen, who was looking over a boy that definitely once had a child inside, definitely once had the nephilim inside. And he looked over it, and the rabbi said, he's sorry. Why is he sorry? Because we can assume the cholot took in the blood, took in the nephil, and took it away from the boy. And therefore, when he put his head over the boy, we can assume he didn't put his head over a mace, because the mace is not there anymore. And therefore he was sorry. What about the fact that he was standing on top of where the mace now is? Because the mace was taken into a hole, but he might be standing on top of that. On that we'll say, there's an oil, says Rashi, it's an oil, and since it's an oil, it's chaitz. If you have an oil, it's chaitz. That is where the Gemara is holding now. So, but the question was, but we see, I'll stop it, make sure they don't die. Yeah. Go on. You're on mute, you sure?
I know. I was looking for the button to unmute myself. Well, doesn't that matter if we're making an assumption that the hole that the hole is in, or the nest or whatever, has a certain height to it? I mean, it only could be, the holders are kind of smaller, the tunnels are, I probably only fit one holder or two at a time. How can we say that it's not going to shoot right through the dirt anyhow?
You're quite right. Rashi says, Stam Chorik is showing him about this. So that's what Rashi holds. Stam Chulda is a tefach, and therefore enochonomy. We can assume that is a tefach.
Okay.
Yeah. That's sure.
Okay, no, it's fine.
So that's the question of the Gemara. We're going to see. So what we have to now see together is we have to see the answer.
Can we just say this, go back to our mission and say Ein Sof? I mean, because if you're talking about tunnels, you can't walk anywhere, because if you've got the whole underground cities and tunnelways, and who knows where there could be Tameas out, below the ground. You don't know where it could be.
Tant is saying so on something that is an Issa the Raisa. It's some of the Raisa. You can't, if you know there was a mace there, it's hard to say Ein Sof in such a case. Maybe you're right, we'd have to be concerned about another Nephil. So here I know there was a Nephil there. And I know that Nephil went somewhere, so I should have to be concerned. In the vicinity of the boy, that there could be a Chulbe there.
Yeah.
And that there's mace. So what we now have to see is the answer of the Gemara. And then you have to see tasters at the top. Now I want you to work out this tasters a little bit, so I'm going to explain to you a few hanochas, a few points that you need to know in order to understand tasters. So where do you have to get to in the Gemara? You have to get to in the Gemara until the brackets. You see the parentheses? You have to get until the parentheses. And then we now have to learn the tasters. So remember, we have to do tasters on Amud Aleph, those last four lines. And then we have to do tasters at the top here. Ahmed Beis, and Tesis talks about, once again, the halachas of Tzveikos, of Tumah and Rishut HaYochid and Rishut HaRamim. You have to know, in Rishut HaYochid, even Tzveikos also, to Tumah. And Rishut HaRamim, even one Sofik, you can be Mekel. Any Sofik in Rishut HaRamim, you can be Mekel. That's going to be part of Tesis' problem understanding the Sugya. So, when you learn Tosfos, try and work it out. There's a little difficulty in the beginning of Tosfos, which you have to try and work out what the difficulty is. But Tosfos are going to ask a question that if we're talking about Rishus HaRabim, then you should, then this Gemara doesn't fit in. And when you work out the Gemara, you should try and work out, when you work out Tosfos, at what stage of the Gemara does Tosfos mean it doesn't fit in? Tosfos says, if it's talking about Rishus HaRabim, then the Gemara doesn't fit well. Which stage of the Gemara doesn't fit well? The question of the Gemara, the answer of the Gemara, what exactly is Tosfos asking on? Is it the question or the answer of the Gemara that Tosfos is troubled about? Again, Tosfos says, if it's talking about Rishus HaRabim, he has a problem with the Gemara. The Shad is, what's the problem with the Gemara? The question of the Gemara or the answer of the Gemara? And then, the end of Tosfos talks about Yeshua's point about the size of the chulis, the size of the
tunnels.
Tosfos says, if it's a tefach high, then there would be a problem putting your head over the pit. Even if the mace is inside the hole, even if the mace is being pulled inside the hole, there would still be a problem looking over the pit.
Hmm.
Why should that be? And let's tell you an idea. It's not necessary that you would know this idea. So an idea. If you have a hole which has a tefach opening, then someone can go out through that opening. And if somebody leans over where that hole is, where that opening is, the Tumah Pashut will go over and hit him. So if the hole of the Chulda was a tefach high and had an opening, a tefach wide, then it wouldn't help, and even leaning over the bow would still make you tiny. The Tumah Pashut will go out of the opening and go up and hit the person leaning on top of that. Okay, that's
even
the
idea. Even if the tumah isn't directly below you, the tumah finds a way out through openings.
The opening of a tefach, the tumah can go out if somebody's mired on top of it. And the tumah will go out and will hit the thing on top of it. Yeah, nachon. So that's the idea that you need to know. And Hashem, we'll join together again tomorrow sometime. So what we have to until the parenthesis, the last four lines of the previous omelet of tasters and the top tasters here. So be all with a tremendous amount of atzlocha.
Amen. Also, check your emails. And I'm going, not yet, but today, check your emails today. I have our daughter's chasanas tomorrow, and I'm sending out invitations, and there's a Zoom link, whatever. So It's not only Corona weddings, it's a regular wedding.
Father, probably
Yeah, Shkoh, thank you.